is Joe Camerata with the Across the Continuum podcast. And I just wanted to drop in and chat about the CrossFit Games and what I experienced while I was there. I have a couple of examples of kind of really cool things that I think pertain to what it is that I'm trying to do here, which is spread the knowledge of strength training, of making modifications, of really just bringing strengthening principles into the clinic for more clinicians to get more people more active than they currently are, which they really need it. So last weekend, went out to Madison, Wisconsin with the WOD Prep team. WOD Prep is a company that I coach for as a kind of like strength coach, rehab coach mix. But that's besides the case. Went to the CrossFit Games, super cool. Lots of people make me feel out of shape. But there were a couple of instances that really stuck out at me that I wanted to bring back and report. And so number one was one of the other coaches, his name was Orlando. He unfortunately ruptured his pec tendon while attempting to do and failing to do a muscle up, which is where you kind of start from a dead hang on a pull-up bar and somehow by the grace of physics end up on top of that bar. And something in there went haywire and he ruptured his pec tendon. And that was maybe 4 days before we met. You know, he had some bruising around the left biceps, belly, and it kind of slowly sank down towards his elbow as gravity tends to do with bruising. But, the interesting part was like, he was kind of fine-ish, right? He couldn't really raise his arm up over his head too hot. But not a whole lot of complaints about pain and still signed up for a couple of workouts that we were going to do together as a team that weekend. And so, maybe like Thursday, he was telling me about rupturing this thing and he was like, oh yeah, you know, when I get back from Madison, I'm going to go ahead and go see an orthopedic surgeon. Was looking for my 2 cents. I kind of gave it to him, but not really. I'm not currently super familiar with pec tendon surgical versus conservative long-term outcomes. I still need to look into that, by the way. But the workouts that we were going to do were Saturday morning and Sunday morning. And so Saturday morning, we roll up to the CrossFit box, and there's a workout called Laredo, which I had never heard of before, but it's apparently something called a benchmark workout, where it's kind of like one of these big name, like repeatable, difficult workouts that people tend to try and improve on year after year. So Laredo goes like this. It's 6 rounds for time, 24 put, 24 air squats, 24 push-ups, 24 lunges, and then a 400-meter run. And the reason that I bring this up is that Orlando still came to the gym, and he still did the workout, but with modifications. Now, the reason that I think that this is noteworthy and the reason that I wanted to come on here and chat about this is because I think that most physical therapists and chiropractors that are listening to this would take somebody who ruptured a pec tendon and tell them to basically do a bunch of nothing, go to the surgeon ASAP, and don't put any sort of stress on that area or do anything at all ever, right? There's kind of these things that happen in the musculoskeletal world that cue us as clinicians to kind of bug out a little bit, and tendon ruptures, muscle ruptures kind of do that, right? You hear rupture, and before you hear rupture, you're kind of like, oh, well, if it's just a muscle injury, this probably be better. Let's just, you know, do this a little bit easier than we would before. But then the conversation of rupture, the word rupture comes into play and you're just like, oh, you're screwed. You totally dislocated that thing. It's, you know, point A has left point B. Now the bus has left the station. And so I think that a lot of people would look at this scenario and say, oh, why you showed up for this difficult workout? Why would you do that? You dummy. But what he did is something that, CJ and I go over in our course, the 6-week clinical coach challenge in the pain and injury section, which is making modifications according to our staircase method. And so what Orlando did was he looked at the workout and he was like, all right, only one of these things, maybe two, is really going to involve utilizing my shoulder, and that's going to be the push-ups. And so what he ended up doing was doing wall push-ups to the best of his ability. And so air squats, totally fine, and we can still be active that way. Lunges, totally fine, we can still be active that way. Running, running can get tough sometimes when it comes to shoulder involvement, just because that like kind of rhythmic jolting motion of, you know, coming into contact with the ground can put a little bit of strain on the shoulder. You know, we get a lot of folks who are post-surgical who really don't take to running after that very well as far as shoulder surgery goes, and they have to improve tolerance. But, you know, he was like, I'm just going to do everything, and then I'm going to do wall push-ups as best as I can. And again, it just kind of speaks to the idea of understanding how we can take somebody who's in really any situation, short of having some sort of awful cardiac involvement that we really can't do anything with, and turn that situation into continued ability to hit physical activity guidelines, continued ability to avoid deconditioning in stressful times. And it really just speaks to the way that we kind of want clinicians to look at the human body, right? It's not to say that, you know, Orlando isn't gonna, or that he's gonna somehow magically repair that ruptured tendon, or he's not gonna need surgery in the future. But when something like this happens, when there's this like big rupture, this big issue that happens, a lot of recommendations are just like, yo, you really messed it up. Let's just relax and do nothing until you can get it looked at. Now, there's a bit of a difference between upper extremities and lower extremities. You're not on your upper extremities all day long, every day. But still, you know, anecdotally, I've seen plenty of folks who have one limb, one lower extremity available, and we can still do stuff, right? And so when we go back to the staircase method, the idea is that at the very top of that staircase is the goal context. And the goal context is whatever movement you want to do at whatever intensity for whatever amount of reps in whatever scenario that you're hoping to do it. And each step down those stairs is making mild or moderate variations or modifications to that context, whether that be a decreased range of motion, whether that be a decreased volume or frequency or intensity or a change in the movement variation like Orlando did, or he kind of did a little bit of everything. The idea is that what we want to do is take as few steps down those stairs as we really need to stay active, because there's nothing worse than just doing nothing, right? Because when we do nothing, not only are we deconditioning, but we're building this weird relationship with pain during training. Now, again, there's some extenuating circumstances going on here where Orlando ruptured his pec, which is not, you know, normal, quote unquote. But when we have people who want to take some sort of scenario where they're having a symptomatic presentation, maybe less extreme than Orlando's, and say that, oh, this kind of like gets me out of being physically active until it's better, the only thing that's really going to do is set this precedent where if I have symptoms, if I have a quote unquote injury, if I have pain, then that means that I need to make sure that I don't continue to do something that is going to provoke or bring that on, because it's going to get worse, or something's going to fall off me, or something's going to snap. But now, again, I recognize that there are instances where we need to respect somebody's tolerance to a stimulus. We need to take into consideration that if we are continuing to poke them in the eye, it's probably not going to help them feel better over time. But we still don't want to err on the side of caution too hard, because then we're just doing nothing until everything feels perfect. And the sad reality is a lot of the time things aren't going to feel perfect. We're putting stressors, internal and external, on our bodies. This kind of discomfort, this feeling of, you know, uncomfortableness, if that's even a word, or pain or symptoms, is kind of just like par for the course and part of pushing ourselves and hitting those physical activity guidelines. And so what we need to do is try not to build that relationship that when things don't feel perfect, that we're just going to like stop and put our feet up and wait for them to feel perfect. And so there's another scenario where, and I'm fully aware that this is an elite level athlete, Roman Krennikov, I hope I'm saying his name right, one of the competitors at the CrossFit Games and the leader up until the last day, did a sandbag over a log, and you jumped over the log and then accidentally landed on one of the sandbags, rolled his ankle, and then broke his foot. Again, extenuating circumstances, but it still highlights the point that I'm trying to make, which is that we can make modifications to stay in the game and to stay active so that we can avoid becoming deconditioned. Now, what he ended up doing, because he's such a beast, was that he ended up doing what he could during the workout, and I, if I recall correctly, the workout was double unders, which is, you know, jump rope where the rope passes under your feet twice with each jump, and then it was a rope drag, and then it was parallettes where he had to like walk down parallel bars. It was bananas. But what he ended up doing was he was like, all right, I can do the parallettes, I can do the sled drag, but the double unders are going to be very difficult because it's such a plyometric movement on a broken foot, not a good scenario. But what he ended up doing, to everybody's amazement, many tears were shed, was he ended up doing double unders on one foot. Again, very aware the scenario, the elite levelness of the athlete, and that this is probably a little bit different when it comes to making modifications because it was a competitive scenario, not only a competitive scenario, but the competitive scenario for this particular sport. But it still comes back to this idea that there's still three other limbs that he can use, and just like Orlando has three other limbs that he can use to stay active. Now, there is a conversation to be had about, well, at what point, and this is like a conversation that happens when people go on vacation and they're worried about not working out. It's like, at what point are we kind of being a little bit of a workout addict? And at what point are we just doing the thing that we like to do? Personally, I think that that is going to vary person to person. But still, it highlights the idea that just because, you know, there's one thing that's complaining on you, or there's one injury or symptomatic presentation, or even two, there's still other things that we can do to become active. And it just takes a skilled clinical coach to go ahead and find that variation, right? I've treated people who have had bilateral antecubital or elbow blood clots where we're only doing leg stuff. Of course, we have the, you know, go ahead from the cardiologist or whomever vascular person that he was being treated by. But it's still, it's like there's so few scenarios where the benefits, where the risks outweigh the benefits of staying active and being active, that it's such a hard argument to be like, oh, this guy ruptured his pec tendon, or oh, this guy broke his foot, let's just sit on the couch and do nothing. And we get into this in our 6-week course where we take you through what it is, as far as like pain models, biomedical model of pain, the biopsychosocial model of pain, what we really need to think about when we're talking about pain and its relationship to tissue damage and injury and harm, so to speak. And then how do we kind of think of that background of the program, of the context, of the sport at hand. And so it really is a first step forward when you realize that just because somebody is going through something, whether that be low back pain, knee pain, hip pain, whatever other joint you want to stick in there, anconeus pain, doesn't mean that we just like stop. Because stopping comes with this whole host of issues as well, where we have these folks going from a non-sedentary exercise schedule to a sedentary exercise schedule in which we decondition. And we know that there are many things that come along with deconditioning and sedentary lifestyle that we want to avoid, comorbidities and such. But the idea that we just need to stop is, I think, a little bit goofy. I might have been a little bit extreme here, and these are extreme examples. But if we were to distill it down, there are lots of things, lots of pathways, and lots of ways that we can figure out how to keep people hitting these minimums or getting as close to them as possible while they're in our clinic, while they're going through something, whether that be surgery, pain, acute or chronic or persistent, what have you, and to keep pushing them towards those markers of health that we know for sure are going to help them out in the long run. If you have any questions, go ahead and feel free to DM me. Or shoot me an email or what have you. I had a great time at the CrossFit Games. 10 out of 10 would recommend if you can make it.